Today is the second Sunday of Advent. The scripture lessons are from Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 7b, and the Gospel of Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 14. Today's message is titled, Return to the Lord. Hear the word from Malachi chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire, or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord. As in days gone by, as in former years, so I will come near to you for judgment. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, and perjurers, against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppress the widows and the fatherless, and deprive aliens of justice. But do not fear me, says the Lord Almighty. I, the Lord, do not change, so you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. Here ends the first lesson. Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the third chapter, beginning at verse 1. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip tetrarch of Iturea, and Trachonitis and Licinius tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of the Lord, the word of God, came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. He went into all the country round the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low, the crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all mankind will see God's salvation. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. What should we do then? The crowd asked. John answered, the man with two tunics should share with him who has none, and the one who has food should do the same. Tax collectors also came to be baptized. Teacher, they asked, what should we do? Don't collect any more than you are required to, he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, and what should we do? He replied, don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. Here ends the gospel reading for this day. Grace Mercy and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, God of inconceivable power, incomprehensible glory, immeasurable mercy, unspeakable kindness, look on us in your tender love and show your rich mercy and compassion to us and those who pray with us. Amen. A particularly poignant passage came before my eyes this week. As soon as I read the passage, I knew I just had to share the words this Sunday morning. These words are written from a lifetime of experience and are so powerful and spot on for these days. Yes, these days that we are living in, even though they were written years and years ago. The particularly poignant passage is in the book, Is Atheism Dead? By Eric Metaxas. I have read several of Eric Metaxas' books and commend them to you to read also. In particular, Amazing Grace, William Wilberforce and his heroic campaign to end slavery. The book, Miracles. The book, Bonhoeffer, Pastor, Martyr, Prophet, and Spy. If you can keep it, it's about American history. And his book on Martin Luther. It's really good. I commend all those books to you, and all are available through our library. Some of them are audiobooks, too, that you can listen to. Perhaps some of you gathered here this morning can remember back to 1966. And that Time magazine cover probably came out about Easter time, since it was April of 1966. That Time magazine cover that said, Is God Dead? Is God Dead? 1966 Time cover. Metaxas' book that just came out, Is Atheism Dead? Is a rebuttal covering what has transpired in these some 50 plus years in science and archaeology, and also relates the reality of atheism's 20th century unavoidable and inescapable monstrous gruesome record of evil evidenced by the handful of atheist regimes who tortured and murdered about 150 million people. It's a number too hard to fathom. In 1937 alone, the intentional action to get rid of God by the atheistic Soviets, they murdered 106,300 clergy in the hopes of destroying, as they called it, the evil of the Christian religion. Now, to put 106,300 clergy in perspective, because that's a huge number too, to put it in perspective, fill the horseshoe at the Ohio State University with Christian clergy, and then kill them all. These are the facts of history, showing atheism really is untenable position. It's untenable to be an atheist. Before I even entered into the bread and butter of the missive in the opening pages was an epigraph. The words of this epigraph, they jumped out to me like a gift. A gift from the Lord for this moment, this morning, as the words rang ever so true, as I was mulling over Malachi's words from the Lord to Israel, return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. Perchance, as you listen to these words, the profoundness will grasp hold of you too. Here the words are. Over a half century ago, while I was still a child, I recall hearing a number of old people offer the following explanation for the great disaster that has befallen Russia. Men have forgotten God. That's why all this has happened. Since then, I've spent well nearly 50 years working on the history of our revolution, In the process, I have read hundreds of books, collected hundreds of personal testimonies, and have already contributed 8 volumes of my own toward the effort of clearing away the rubble left by that upheaval. But if I were asked today to formulate as concisely as possible the main cause of the ruinous revolution that has swallowed up some 60 million of our people, I could not put it more accurately than to repeat: men have forgotten God. That's why all this has happened. The writer of these words and the bearer of the observation is Soviet writer Alexander Solzhenitsyn. Men have forgotten God. That's why all this has happened. This is in the news just this past week, December 3rd, as a matter of fact. December 3rd, 2021, the United Nations, during Hanukkah, the Festival of Lights, marking that miracle of the one day of holy oil burning for 8 days. Hanukkah means dedication, and it celebrates the rededication of the Holy Temple by the Maccabees after defeating the Syrian Greeks who had defiled the temple. The 7-branch menorah was lit, even though there was only 1 day's worth of oil found that was not sullied. It was still pure. It was undefiled. They filled the menorah and they lit the menorah. Then a great miracle was given for Israel to see, for Israel to behold. The oil burned long enough. It burned for 8 days. 1 day's worth of oil burned for 8 days. Long enough for Israel to prepare more oil with the stipulations of ritual purity. So during Hanukkah this week, the United Nations this very week, during Hanukkah, during the time Israel celebrates the rededication of the temple, the UN declares the Temple Mount exclusively Muslim. And Israel is illegal in Jerusalem. How can the UN erase history and the eternal bond of the Jewish people to Jerusalem and the Temple Mount? Answer: man has forgotten God. That is why this is happening. Remember just a few weeks ago, the mob that smashed and grabbed in the L.A. Nordstrom Thanksgiving weekend. All the suspects who were captured and taken in custody, well, they're all out of custody as a result of the zero bail criteria. 11 stores in L.A. that weekend were hit with $338,000 in merchandise taken. Yet the looters that were caught were let out, pled poverty due to the California Supreme Court decision ordering judges in the state to consider a suspect's ability to pay. So show you're indigent, you get to walk. Why are we in this situation? Why this ever-growing chaos? Why this ever-growing disdain for law and order? Why this rise of evil? Seen in the intentional action of crashing a Christmas parade and violence in high schools. Why does peace seem so elusive? I mean, millions were murdered in Russia, 60 million and more, and much, much more have been murdered in the Far East under communism. Why don't we learn the lessons of history? Reason: man has forgotten God. That's why we're in this situation. Listen to how Malachi describes Israel forgetting God. It's written there in Malachi chapter 3, verse 7. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees, have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. Even before entering the promised land, the Lord warned Israel not to forget. Warned Israel not to depart from the ways of the Lord. Did they listen? Do we these days listen? It is written there in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, and then jumping down 5 through 9. Hear now, O Israel, the decrees and laws I'm about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. Do not add to what I command you, and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. Now jumping down to verse 5. See, I have taught you decrees and laws as the Lord commanded me, so that you may follow them in the land you are entering to take possession of it. Observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations, who will hear about all these decrees and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them, the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to Him? And what other nation is so great as to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws I'm setting before you today? Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. A little later in chapter 4, Deuteronomy, beginning of verse 23. Be careful not to forget the covenant of the Lord your God that He made with you. Do not make for yourselves an idol in the form of anything the Lord God has forbidden. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. The Lord then states, Israel will forget. Israel will be scattered. The account of the forgetting is scattered right through scriptures. You can find it. Yet the Lord still offers Himself to them. His very self to them. Deuteronomy chapter 4, now verse 29 through 31. But if from there, that's the places you've been scattered to, but if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find Him. If you look for Him with all your heart and with all your soul, when you're in distress and all these things have happened to you, then in latter days you will return to the Lord your God and obey Him. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not abandon or destroy you or forget the covenant with your forefathers, which He confirmed to them by oath. Years later, with all the ups and downs of Israel's history of forgetting and remembering, and forgetting and remembering, years later, as the last judge of Israel gave his farewell speech in recalling Israel's history, Samuel, the last judge before Saul, now king, Samuel said this. It's written in 1 Samuel chapter 12, beginning at verse 8. Recalling Israel's history, Samuel said, after Jacob entered Egypt, they cried to the Lord for help, and the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, who brought your forefathers out of Egypt and settled them in this place. But they forgot the Lord their God, so He sold them into the hands of Sisera, the commander of the army of Hazor, and in the hands of the Philistines and the king of Moab, who fought against them. A little while later in chapter 12, Samuel also says, 1 Samuel chapter 12, beginning now at verse 20, do not be afraid. Samuel replied, you have done all this evil. Yet do not turn away from the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Do not turn away after useless idols. They can do you no good, nor can they rescue you, because they are useless. For the sake of His great name, the Lord will not reject His people, because the Lord was pleased to make you His own. Years later, Malachi chapter 3. Right there in Malachi, you find the same. Chapter 3, beginning at verse 6 in Malachi. I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. Return to me. A call again. It comes 400 years later, after those 400 years of silence from when Malachi was closed and before an event happened in the wilderness. 400 years of silence. It is written, though, in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. And it's written in Malachi chapter 4, verse 5. See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. After 400 years of silence, suddenly, in the wilderness, a voice begins crying out, prepare the way, prepare the way. This event, this moment is set in history. Specifically, the time is detailed as the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar. Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea. Herod, tetrarch of Galilee. The son of Zechariah, to John came the word of God. Luke writes, as a historian here, listing the political leaders, he also mentions Anna and Caiaphas. So he's mentioning the spiritual leaders of that time in that region, giving the historical context to this event. Secular history of this is not disputed at all. Records of these rulers gives the approximate year to be around 27 to 29 AD, as we reckon time now. 27 to 29 AD. Though men had forgotten God, though men have walked away from the ways of the Lord, the Lord has not forgotten his covenant, nor forgotten his promise. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1 again. See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. In the Hebrew, it starts with the word behold. Behold, it's about a certainty. It draws your attention to this certainty. Behold, I send my messenger. He will prepare the way before me, and suddenly will come to his temple, the Lord whom you seek. The messenger is sent with purpose to prepare the way. For whom? Prepare the way for whom? The one you seek. The Lord will come to his temple. His temple, you know that place the UN just declared isn't Israel's and Jerusalem. I mean, you know, the Lord will come to his temple. The temple. The messenger is sent by the Lord to prepare the way of the Lord. Why? Because men have turned from God and walked away from the Lord. The messenger, in the words of Malachi, will prepare the way by calling all to return to the Lord. That's how the way is prepared. By calling the people to return to the Lord with the promise, the Lord will return to you. The messenger will come to prepare the way, for the Lord you are seeking will come. Strong's exhaustive concordance helps us understand the Hebrew word translated seeking here. Seek. It's a primitive root and it means to search out by any method, specifically though, in worship and prayer. It implies to strive after, to ask, to beg, to beseech. In worship and prayer, you're striving after, you're begging, you're beseeching. You're that deep, deep desire of your heart that drives you to seek the Lord. It will be satisfied. The Lord will come. The one you seek will come. For the messenger, behold, the messenger has been sent to prepare the way. The one is coming. The messenger is now here. Luke chapter 3, beginning of verse 4. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, the rough way smooth, and all mankind will see God's salvation. John, at that time in history, begins his preaching in the wilderness at the word of God coming to him and telling him to do so, preaching repentance. Repentance that is seen in changed lives. You say you have repented? Then live up to what you have actually said. The Greek word translated as repentance literally means a changed mind. Your mind has changed, and if it's truly true, your mind has changed, your life will be changed. Yet men have forgotten God. Men have turned their back on God. That's why this lawlessness is taking place. That's why the chaos of these days. That's why tyranny is rising. The only answer to such a situation we are in is repentance. The answer is return to the Lord your God, and the Lord will return to you. Just as it's written in Malachi, just as John preaching in the wilderness was preaching, just as it's written in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus' own words, Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow composed, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day, on December 25th, 1864. In the midst of the Civil War, based on Luke chapter 2, verse 14, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Longfellow's words were written from great pain and despair, following the tragic death of his beloved wife Fanny, and the crippling war wound of his son Charles, which he received during a battle during the Civil War. As Eric Metaxas answered Time magazine's, is God dead with, is atheism dead? Yet years earlier, Longfellow penned a poem that has these timeless words. And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and clear, loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. In the midst of despair came the ringing of church bells. With each note singing brightly across the land, God is not dead, followed by the next bell ringing, nor doth he sleep. The roaring cannons of the war, they could not silence the bells and their ringing note carrying across the valleys and hills. Nor can the chaos of these days silence the bells. God is not dead. Return to the Lord. Return to the crucified and risen Christ. The Lord and peace will come. From his life experience, Solzhenitsyn wrote, men have forgotten God. That's why all this has happened. Same can be said of these days too. And the answer is what is written in Deuteronomy. The answer is written in Samuel. The answer is written in Malachi. It's in what John proclaimed as written in Luke. Remember God. Repent. Return to the Lord. And the Lord will return to you. And bring that peace you are so longing for in your hearts, in your families, in this land, and across the world. Man-made, man-conceived notions, plans and programs or programs will not ever be able to do what needs to happen to bring peace. The only answer is return to the Lord, Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen one. There, in the Prince of Peace, you will find peace on earth. Peace on earth. Peace on earth. Return to the Lord. Peace on earth. The bells are ringing, peace on earth. The choirs are singing, peace on earth. Goodwill to men. Then ring the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor does he sleep. Peace on earth. Peace on earth. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. Amen and amen.